The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us on this Tuesday evening. And, I'm going to get right to it because this is actually one of my favorite subjects and very topical, especially this time of year. I have done a bit of this sort of work myself, and I want to take you back some time ago when I was a kid and I was living in St. Anthony Village in Minnesota, just over by Roseville, New Brighton, over by Minneapolis. And it was a Thursday night in April, as it happens, and a tornado came through. And it started about 4 miles from where I live, taking out windows of the church that I was a part of, St. Charles Borromeo. And then it moved north, and it cut through most of St. Anthony, and it ended at a place that some may remember called Apache Plaza. And Apache Plaza was one of the first indoor shopping malls. I think it even predated Southdale. And so it inflicted heavy damage to Apache Plaza. I was 10 at the time, and it had an indelible mark on me. It's been with me for the rest of my life. It's taken it's not even a toll. It's just been a part of me. It's allowed me to have a very strong viewpoint on the weather in general. And I looked and I thought to myself, like I said, it's in April. When was that again? And I looked it up. So today is April 23rd. It happened April 26th, 1984. 40 years ago. We're just about 40 years ago that happened. And it's every aspect of that. And it did not damage my house that I grew up in. It did not damage my neighborhood. It hit about 7 to 10 blocks down from me. It killed somebody. But that night had changed my outlook on weather forever. Not in a bad way, but in one that it's a very healthy respect for the weather. And that's why it's been with me. And that's why I wanted to bring on Justin tonight. Justin Wenzel has always had an interest in the weather for as long as he can remember. When he was young, it was a fear of severe weather. But as he grew older, it became more of an interest in wanting to understand more. As a kid, Justin would spend hours sitting in front of the TV watching the Weather Channel. During the storms, he would stare out the window, just waiting to see what would happen. Most times, it wasn't much. The first local tornado event that had an early impact on him was the devastating tornado that tore through southern Minnesota on March 29th, 1998. Justin spent the entire afternoon watching the events unfold on the local news stations. His career highlights our tornadoes would be Dodge City in Kansas in May of 2016 and Stuart, Iowa in June of 2017. Justin's had news footage featured on all major news networks and have done several live shots of his footage and phone interviews on the Weather Channel, which I have seen myself. Justin has chased everything from tornadoes and severe thunderstorms, blizzard, northern lights, and wildfires in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Justin, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you very much for being on. You know, there is something about, for me personally, and I'd really like to know your take on it, because I feel like that we've had kind of similar backgrounds in the sense of, like, even back in the day, even before that tornado incident happened in my life, there was always something about getting tornado warnings and getting even just being in a watch. You know, watch doesn't mean that that you're going to get a tornado or any of that stuff. But there was something about that that was really always captivating to me, and I always paid attention to that. I wonder what it is that makes that so special for people like you, myself, and thousands of other chasers.
Yeah, it's something I can obviously definitely relate to, and as long as, like you mentioned here, as long as I can remember, it's always been the weather. You know, you can talk to my parents, they're like, yeah, there he was sitting in front of the TV all day long. Should be outside playing and watching the weather channel.
Unless, of course, there is storms in the area, because you'll go out chasing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the rest of the Minnesotans out there as well. When there's severe weather, generally we all go to our front doors, and we'll be outside looking at it come at us. And I remember where I live now in St. Michael, in my house, or looking actually at the end of my driveway, and my neighbor at the time was across the street, and we were watching this wall cloud, very nasty looking business, come through, and he just looks at me and he goes, "Nice knowing you."
Yep, had a few of those moments before.
And you know, we were talking before we got on the air that, you know, between last summer and now, for you, it has been kind of a dud, hasn't it?
It has been. Yep. You know, it's just been kind of a quiet couple of years. Even before that, you know, some would say the Central Minnesota area is overdue for some type of severe weather outbreak. When that happens, who knows? But it is definitely something to pay attention to over the season here.
Well, and that's partially why I wanted you on at this time of year. First of all, because I felt like that we were going to be in good shape of not really having to worry about some sort of weather event happening during this period. But you never know with it being April. Yeah. But it is like, isn't it's like Tornado Awareness Month anyway?
Yeah, it is Severe Weather Awareness Month for Minnesota itself. Severe Weather Awareness Week, I believe it was last week or the week before, where each day the National Weather Service actually did special bulletins for all different aspects of severe weather and the different precautions to take through each scenario.
That's, I mean, and people, you know, I've a laugh because there's people like, they're just like, oh yeah, whatever. And here I am along with you, and you know, other people are just like, we're watching in due diligence, you know, like we're just really paying attention to every aspect of it. And even like what you're saying about the Weather Channel, even when it's like hurricanes, and I know there's no hurricanes in Minnesota. I'm not saying here, like when there's hurricanes coming through, I'll watch the Weather Channel, like from start to finish of that event. I just can't get enough of it.
Yep, they do that live coverage, and you just start getting glued to it and watching it throughout the process.
Absolutely. Now, when you are going out and like you're in full mode, you got your vehicle, and you're ready to go out, what do you have with you to kind of be prepared, be safe, but also to get what you want to get out of it?
Yep. So if I am you know, if it's something I'm prepared for, like I know I'm heading out tomorrow, you know, I have my laptop, I have a video camera to shoot my footage with. And then really one of the tools I use the most is my cell phone. There's some very good apps on there, especially how far technology is advanced nowadays, where you can get the radar app, pinpoint GPS location. I kind of use that on the fly. If I need something a little more in depth, that's when, you know, my computer can come in. I can pull up different forecast models and current weather conditions across that local area to really try to hone in on where I want to be. Now, in the heat of the moment, though, what it really comes down to almost is going by sight, going by what you see.
Right.
What's actually happening in the clouds.
And when you're doing that, I would imagine, I mean, I think, you know, depending on what kind of chaser you are, where do you want to be in correlation to where the storm is?
It's a very good question. And so it's in a traditional sense of a tornado, I would prefer to be. Everyone may have different answers on this. I try to stay off to the right of the storm, or to the a little bit out of the direct path of the tornado. One of the most important things is that chasers, no matter what, do not cross the path of that tornado, because if something happens, as there's a video on YouTube from last year that you could probably find, I think some chasers got caught in some power lines and were ultimately hit by the tornado. Thankfully, nobody was seriously hurt, but things can happen when you get into certain situations. So just have to be mindful of that, and it happens quick.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, at the possibility of getting what you want, because there's pictures of tornadoes, and then there's pictures of tornadoes, right? That there, you want to be able to get, or even storms or whatever it is, you really want to get something good, because there's a beauty that's attached to all of this stuff. And do you ever have to, and maybe this isn't a great question to ask, do you ever have to kind of like kind of shake yourself out of it, like, no, this, if I want to get to where I want to be, that's a little bit too dangerous?
Yeah, I try. That is definitely a case for me, because I do try to be careful. I have been unintentionally closer than I would have liked to have been before.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there's ways around it and to easily get out of the way. But if you look at this one right behind me here, up on my other shoulder.
Yep.
You know, that tornado, it crossed the road right in front of me, but I was able to position myself safely.
That's beautiful.
With it, you know, maybe a quarter mile, half mile down the road.
I'm just gonna move in on you. For those who are watching the Facebook feed, that's beautiful. That's a really nice. And I thought, you know, at first you're showing me the Bigfoot crossing. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're in the right show. Let's say, you know, and who knows if you get a Bigfoot thrown at you because of a tornado. I don't know.
You never know.
And that's the thing about it. It's with that. And that's, you know, I've done. I would like to call it storm chasing light. You know, I do it on my own terms. I actually ended up buying a kind of a piece of junk truck that I still have, so that I can take it out and not worry about it being hit by hail and stuff. But at the same time, I'm not going to get close to it. I want to be in the action, but not too close to the action.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to have a vehicle. You're not too worried about smashing up with hail, because I have destroyed a brand new car in hail before.
Oh my gosh. Was this before or after you married Amy? Because I don't know.
No, this was after. She came home that night and said, got a little hail damage on the car.
Yeah. Guess what? Guess what happened tonight? The main thing is that you're safe. Now,
yeah.
not to bring up other storm chasers, but I do watch like Reed Timmer. Do you ever do anything like that, where you are streaming you just driving to the storms and stuff?
I used to stream a lot of live footage. That's where a lot of my live interviews with the Weather Channel would originate from.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it became more work than what it was really worth for me to keep doing. It's a lot of work to keep the stream with high quality, especially out in rural parts of the state or across the country. Yeah. And it just wasn't working as much as I liked, and became more work and a distraction ultimately. So
it's interesting too, because even like storm chasing has, you know, especially, and you tell me, I guess, over the past few years in particular, it's become almost more high commodity, where like I bring up Reed Timmer, but Reed Timmer also has like a ton of like sponsors and stuff. What are your thoughts on that? Does that sour anything, or is it just not even an issue?
It's a very good question. Storm chasing has taken off significantly since I started. It seems like anyone with a cell phone now can storm chase. And, you know, anyone that wants to get into it, I would encourage them to, you know, do your research and everything and get proper training through Skywarn, things like that. Yep. But yeah, it is definitely taken off a lot more. You see a lot more what they call chaser convergence, especially the further south you get into the plains, where you will literally run into traffic jams out in the middle of some country roads where the infrastructure simply cannot handle that type of traffic when you're on a muddy gravel road and there's a tornado barreling down on you.
And you're in gridlock.
Yeah.
Do you, are these people, are they doing it because they find it very interesting, or are they doing it because they want some kind of fame from it?
That's a tough question to answer, because I have a hard time speaking for everyone. I think, you know, with...
Oh, go ahead, try.
I'll try. With the recent, films that have come out, there is another new storm chasing film, Twisters 2.
Yep.
Coming out over the summer. with technology and social media the way it is nowadays, I think it's just taken off as more of a mainstream hobby that, you know, maybe people didn't even think about 10, 15 years ago, and now more and more are able to get into it, and it makes it a lot easier. I think it's a little bit of both. I think the people, you know, even myself, there's nothing I enjoy more than getting my footage on the news.
But you paid your dues as well, and you're doing, yeah. I guess the reason why I asked the question myself is because I see the parallels with the paranormal field that I'm in.
Sure.
You know, I mean, look, literally any moron can get a radio show now. I mean, look at what you're on right now. You got me doing this. But I mean, it feels like everybody, even when I got into this, you know, 15 years ago, people were like hungry to try to have their own TV show because they see it. And I think there's some kind of preconceived idea, the stuff that I'm doing, the stuff that you're doing, all you're doing is just going out and shooting clouds and stuff. That's not hard. I can do that. But the reality is of how much work that is to be able to get that one moment that actually is that you can even not commercialize, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it is a lot of work, and I can't tell you how many times I've driven overnight for 18 hours to get someplace and then end up turning around and coming back home without anything.
Without nothing. Absolutely. Why don't we go ahead and do this, Justin? Let's go ahead, take our first break. When we come back, we have a lot more questions for Justin. There's some people that put some stuff in the comments. We're going to bring those up as well. Even because I have Justin here, I want to tell a couple of my stories and hear more of his. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And I hope that you have some time to come out and join us May 1st over at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka. We are doing Ghost Stories and Beyond. And I'm really excited about this one because we're going to play some spirit recordings, whether it's from us that we picked up over the years or if it's something that we just think is really good and we wanted to share with people. It's going to be a very... it's going to be a fun time. It always is. It's 6:30 May 1st at Billy's Bar and Grill in the basement there. It's $10 a person to get in. That does not cover food or drink, but just don't forget that Wednesdays are half-price burgers. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we are very excited for that. We are talking with Justin Wenzel, and we are talking about storm chasing, and this is a lot of fun, and people in the comments are really enjoying it. But Justin, I want to show you something. This is great for radio when you show a picture to somebody on the radio. I don't think I have the idea of radio yet here. For people who have been following me for a long time, they'll recognize this person. And that is my cat Linus. And I just have to do a shout out because Justin, your wife Amy gave me Linus.
That's correct. I hear stories about the cat, and I seen him on your Facebook the other day.
So. You hear stories about him, and you're like, God, I'm so glad he's not in my house. Because he does try to kill me on a daily basis. That's actually one of the stories that Amy had told me, is that he'll put out his paw to try to stop someone, and someone else, a previous owner of Linus, thought that he was actually trying to hurt them. And it's like, no. And Amy was like, no, that's not the case. Give me the damn cat back because you're just an idiot. So then I ended up with him. And I have to say, I cannot say how grateful I am that Amy had given me Linus, because I have had 7 years of just a wonderful little pet that I've had a really good relationship with. So I just want to say that's pretty awesome. Now, and I have a feeling you're not a cat person, are you?
I am super allergic to cats.
I just get this from you that you're just like, you can't. Yeah, he is absolutely not the right kind of cat that you want in a house if you're allergic. No, you're probably going to sneeze now seeing this picture of him.
Pretty much. I can feel it through the computer here.
So I want to go to the comments, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
And let's see. Emily asked the question, do you guys think that thunderstorms, rainstorms just don't stick around and don't last as long as they used to? Maybe I'm crazy, but I swear they were doozies when I was a kid. What's your thoughts on that?
I think you know, it's really tough to say because you could have one person that's like that just continuously gets plowed over with storms year after year, or another person 50 miles away where they just seem to miss. Generally speaking, I think storms are, it just really depends on the area. You know, we were mentioning that I think this area may be overdue for some type of major severe weather outbreak. It may be a matter of time. It may be several years. It's just hard to say. It just depends on the type of storm and the type of conditions you have. If we have a hot, humid summer, you know, we may see some, depending where you're at, some decent storms this year.
I feel like when I, because over the last few years, and I have kind of a dilemma, moral dilemma here. I want storms to come through. I want to experience them. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want any damage to people's stuff, especially my own stuff. But at the same time, I mean, there is something that's just so wonderful about being around thunderstorms and even having that whole like severe weather situation and everything that surrounds it for me. But I had noticed on certain years, it feels like every time a storm system, because you track the radar and it's coming towards us, it's coming towards like the St. Michael area, that it always seemed to have started to break up and like almost like miss the area, and the band would be in two and just miss us. And I'm like, I don't understand. That's like, you know, what are you doing this to me for?
I think that's what I call the Justin effect. When storms start getting close to me, they tend to just die off.
that they don't want you to, they don't want to be photographed by you.
They're like, yeah, enough of this guy. We're out. it happens all the time. But you know, I think it's just like the situation of a circumstance, and eventually, you know, one of those storms is going to hold together. No, we don't live too far from each other. I don't know if you remember last October.
Yeah.
It might have been in late September. I can't recall, but there was actually a tornado right through Wright County that almost went unnoticed, unless you were right in the areas over by BB Lake.
Oh, wow.
Farm places are actually hit pretty hard. It's mostly tree damage and some outbuildings, but kind of a surprise one was right down the road from us, and I didn't even know for 3 days till afterwards.
This is news to me. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah.
Crap. I remember when I first moved in here, and I've been in St. Michael for nearly 20 years now, and my ex-wife and I, when we moved in, there was like massive severe weather coming through, and we were being really smart by not paying attention to what was happening at all. We were just laying up in our bedroom, and the next day found out that a tornado touched down a mile away from us in Rogers and killed a few people. And I was just like, man, you know, if that's not enough to get people to kind of pay attention, you know, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Storm chasing can be a bittersweet thing. You know, like I love to see the extreme weather. And then on the same hand, though, you hate to see people's property and lives, you know, sometimes change forever.
Would you say as a storm chaser, I think I do know the answer, but I want to get this out there for people who want to do this sort of thing. If you're storm chasing, you don't ever go out without some access to a radar, right? You don't ever just do it by, oh, I'm going to look and I'm just going to drive towards where it looks dark and stuff. That you really need to have your radar.
Absolutely. You need to have your radar at least, and not only have an understanding of radar presentations and what you're exactly looking for, but also a good understanding of what's actually happening in the clouds.
Yeah.
Is extremely important because you could get yourself into a bad situation without those things.
There's a lot of possibilities that stuff will be hidden from you based on rain or whatever else is happening, or even debris, right?
Yep, especially the types of storms we tend to get in Minnesota, what I call high precipitation supercells. That tornado may be wrapped in rain. You might not even see it coming until it's already on top of you.
It's frightening. It's so frightening. I think one of the most unfair things in the world, though, are tornadoes at night.
Yes.
That's just crap. Yeah. And I was driving through, I was bringing someone through to Arizona, and we were driving, and I wanted to actually drive through Oklahoma because we knew that there's going to be stuff there. And it's about 10:30 at night, and we ended up going through Kansas, and I'm at Pratt, Kansas, which is at the southern end of Kansas. Mm-hmm. And there's storms off to the distance, and I'm driving, and there is lightning, and all of a sudden there's a silhouette of a cone. And I was nowhere near me, okay? There was nowhere near me, but I'm looking and I'm just like, I'm dumb. I'm like, oh my God, I just, and the woman with me, she's just like, what are you so weird about? I'm like, I just saw, there's a tornado over there. There's a tornado over there. And we pull over and I pull out my radar and I could see exactly where it was, which made perfect sense to what I was looking at. And I could also see it was moving away from us, but there was another band coming in. And I'm like, we really probably shouldn't be driving anymore tonight. We should probably get a place to stay that we think is going to be safe, because it's not worth driving out in that.
Right. Even if you don't get hit by a tornado at night, any, you know, straight line winds, hail, all that stuff can, you never see it coming. It can be devastating. So.
Absolutely. Let's go back to some more comments here real fast. Let's see. Chuck says that we've had freak windstorms that they say were mild tornadoes here in upstate New York, but not frequently enough for chasers. And I don't know really about the weather up in New York, to be honest at all, but it doesn't seem like they get a lot of the stuff, even though just, I think, a couple of weeks ago, didn't the Philadelphia area, Philadelphia area get hammered by a lot of severe weather and stuff?
I believe so. I know I did hear something about that. That northeast part of the country is probably, I've never been there. I can imagine it's not a very easy place to chase, geography speaking. Across the plains in the Midwest, you get a lot of what we call grid road networks, where north, south, east, west, and you can see for 15, 20 miles. There's just nothing there, which makes it extremely easy. There are some chasers who they'll chase anything and everything. I'm not that type chaser. I just don't even have the capability to really do that with, you know, wife, kids, and responsibilities. But, they'll go through what's called Dixie Alley, which is another high frequency tornado area during certain times of year. And you got 100-foot trees on either side of you, and you're just waiting for that one spot to get them. And some guys love it. So
yeah, and in that area, most of that area that I've run into, because I've been out there a couple times, not for storm chasing, but you know, if you ever see roads in like small towns, small villages in the UK, like United Kingdom, it's very similar to that, because it was all stuff that was founded by people from the UK, and so it's very dense, you know, for a lot of curvy roads and stuff. And it's just like, that's what I love about being where we are and doing the, you know, when you're doing the chasing and stuff, because it is, you, like you said, you can see so much, which is, then there's nothing better in my mind than like seeing like dark clouds over like a farm field and the sun actually projecting on those clouds. So it's really dark, almost black.
Yeah. Yep.
Chuck also asked you the question, how has the use of tech changed over the years for you?
So when I started, you know, for me myself, it hasn't changed all that much. The programs I use have gotten better. They've improved. Where I think there is a huge change, it was probably right about that time frame, right before I started, where people were using paper maps, the old Rand McNally road atlas, things like that to get around. They would need to go to different hotels or coffee shops and things like that to actually plug into the internet to get it. And now, you know, my vehicle's got Wi-Fi, my phone is Wi-Fi, whatever I need, I can usually one way or another connect to the internet to some extent wherever I'm at.
Do you have like a backup for the Wi-Fi, like something stronger than just like a hotspot or even like a paper map or something? Because stuff goes out, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, you can lose GPS and, you know, your data service. And traditionally, no, I've never brought paper maps with me. A good friend of mine always has them, and we were out together one time, and thankfully he did.
And yet you still don't have it with you, it sounds like. you know, it's easier said than done, too. Linda says, I am fascinated with weather since having my birthday party in 1966 and watching it change the course of my day the year that Hurricane Carla blew over our house in Houston, Texas. I want your opinion on something, Justin. Mm-hmm. I think naming snowstorms are stupid. Do you agree?
I think it's silly, and I think it's a marketing tactic by a certain news station. But you know, if it works, it works.
And well, and that's the thing too, is, I mean, I think that a conversation should be talked about the sense, the sensationalization of some of these storms. Like, how far do we go where we're too careful, where we're, I'm someone who freaks out about snow, like driving in winter weather very easily. So the first thing that people say about it, I'm already just like, you know, a bowl of pudding. But it, some of the stuff that's coming out there, it's almost fear-mongering, I think.
It could be too. Yeah, I agree to a point. You know, there's a lot of, between views and clicks and all that stuff, you know, it definitely happens. There are definitely some rogue websites and social media pages out there who definitely do fear-monger, and they'll put out some crazy forecasts 2 weeks out in advance.
Yeah.
That just makes me scratch my head and wonder how they're, even can sleep at night sharing some of this stuff. And
it's pretty ridiculous. Linda says it's probably the insurance company that started naming hurricanes. Hurricanes, to me, that's okay. They're massive events. Snowstorms are a big deal, don't get me wrong, but they come through so often that they don't need names.
Yeah. You know, the way I look at it, a named hurricane, you know, such as the one in 1966, that's something you're going to remember forever. Where we live in Minnesota here, a named snowstorm, by the time it's over, you've already forgot what that's called. So
right. And the only other one, I feel like the only way that we remember snowstorms are going to be like the one in Halloween in 1991.
Yeah.
And it's the date, because it was so amazing and so ridiculous.
We'll be talking about that one forever, I think. So.
Totally, totally. Now, have you been in a hurricane?
Never have. I would not be opposed to it, though. But that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of planning. And, you know, I have no experience doing that. So that would definitely require doing that with someone who has much more experience than that, because you can really end up in a very, very bad spot.
It's always interesting, because the stuff that you watch on, like, the Weather Channel, and you see like Stephanie Abrams out there, and she's like being blown down the street. And, you know, a part of me is kind of like, where is the end game to this? I mean, what at what point is it, does that enhance? I mean, I guess I'm the stupid one here, because I said earlier, I watch it from start to finish.
Sure.
But at the same time, I, you know, it's not because I want to see Stephanie Abrams get hit in the face with a stop sign that's blowing down the street. It's, I'm curious to know what's happening in the area. Do you think that some of this stuff, like the coverage, do you think it's a matter of people trying to keep up with the Joneses of stuff that's non-weather related, you know, just trying to get people to come in for viewership?
There could be some instances like that. You know, I'm going to speak on the storm chaser side of things. A lot of these people, we all just share the same passion of extreme weather, and ultimately want to live through it and be there for it. There's a really good documentary on Netflix. Like, the name of it is drawing a blank for me right now. I believe it was in regards to Hurricane Ian a few years ago.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that was actually a really good one. They actually were able to go back with the family and talk to them after the fact. So that was something. I've also heard stories of people who were evacuated from their homes, and they're seeing this different live footage, whether it's being streamed on YouTube or Weather Channel coverage or anything like that. You know, they were able to kind of have an idea of what's actually going on in their own neighborhoods or their homes.
Yeah.
And even before they've been able to get back into their neighborhoods, they're able to see, you know, footage of what their area looked like. So, and some people were relieved by that. So maybe there is some benefit.
And I would agree. I certainly agree with that. I guess my thought is like, sometimes I feel like that they put people in danger a little bit when it's the one-on-one, even though they do say we have a safe place, we're safe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just becoming an old hen, you know, and maybe that's all there really is to it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the type of storm chasing I would do, you know, you're kind of, your own self shooting your own footage. It's, you know, kind of can go where you want and put yourself in whatever situation you feel comfortable with. But, you know, I think it, even the hurricane chasing has become more popular over the last several years too. So
I love watching it. I love watching it. Why don't we go ahead and do this? Let's go ahead and take our second break. When we come back, I want to talk tornadoes. I want to talk about tornadoes that you have seen. And if once again, folks, you have any more questions or comments, please put them in and we'll get to them. This is a great conversation. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. That's right. Psychic medium Refined Divine is going to be here tomorrow. It's a great time. I love it. I love it when people are calling in, people are putting in their questions and stuff. You can put your questions in the comments. Don't forget, she also does mediumship live on the air as well. It's always a lot of fun. You got to call in, though, more than likely to be able to get through, but we'll try to get to everybody the best we can. That's going to be tomorrow. Please check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. What I am enjoying is this conversation right now with Justin Wenzel, and we're talking about storm chasing and the work that he's doing, which, I mean, first of all, it's people need to see this stuff because, you know, there's a lot of people that if they don't know how to do it, you shouldn't be out there to begin with. And people like you are showing us what it looks like. And it's important that we know what nature looks like and what the weather looks like in certain situations.
Absolutely. Now some with storm chasing, like we already mentioned, it's great to, you want to gain all the knowledge you can, go out with someone experienced. If it is something you're looking into, there is another program called Skywarn that is put on by the National Weather Service. So people that do have an interest in severe weather, that would be a great starting point as well, where you can actually do storm spotting and, you know, even have an impact right from your own home. Yep. When you have severe weather rolling through your neighborhood and make a report, that can potentially help people that are further down the path of those storms.
It's like, don't run if you don't know how to walk.
Right.
Just do the due diligence, take the time. It's all fascinating. It's all immense fun. Now I want to talk tornadoes. We have about 10 minutes left here, and I want to talk about tornadoes. You've seen a lot of tornadoes and stuff. Tornadoes is one of the most coolest, frightening, horrific, wonderful things in that nature gives us. Could you quickly tell us what the F standard are for tornadoes?
I don't have the exact measurements.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah,
measure off the top of my head. They are rated off the damage they cause, so you could have a tornado go through an open field. It could be 3 miles wide and doesn't hit anything but blades of grass. It's going to be rated a zero.
Got it.
So now you can,
regardless of its width when it actually does touch down. Okay.
Yep. And there are ways that they can measure the wind speeds now with radar, things like that. But as they've always been rated, it was the F scale. Now it is the enhanced Fujita scale, the EF scale. So it did change slightly on what they're looking for. Zero being the least impactful, right? Breaking some tree limbs, maybe blowing some shingles off your roof, where EF5 is complete total devastation, where you would have to be just about underground to survive something like that. Thankfully, sure, those don't happen very often.
Right. So when you're out chasing and you see a tornado, you can maybe give like an estimate of what you think it might be, but you really don't know until they come through and they do the kind of the recce of the situation.
Correct. Yeah. The National Weather Service will come through and they'll do a survey after the fact. Usually within a day, maybe 2 days later, depending on the extent of the event, they'll have their official report out, the radiance.
God, there's really something about it. What is your, do you have like a favorite tornado story?
I have two. Oh. I think the one I want, so I did, I mentioned with you about Dodge City, Kansas.
Yeah.
That was one. That was actually one of the first tornadoes I seen all by myself. It was a fabulous time. One of the most prolific supercells. People still talk about it. It's called a cyclic supercell that just kept dropping tornado after tornado after tornado. There's actually three on the ground at one time. Varying sizes. That was one of my favorite storms. Now that storm was shared with hundreds upon hundreds of other chasers. There's footage all over of that one. The other favorite one of mine is Stewart, Iowa. That was a storm where I did all my research, did my forecast exactly right, stuck to my gut. A lot of times you want to make some last minute changes, and I stuck with what I said. I got to Stewart, Iowa, stopped at Casey's to grab a slice of pizza, which is just something you have to do when you're storm chasing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there goes a storm, starts to form. I headed directly towards it before it was hardly a thunder shower. Watched that storm develop to produce the first wall cloud, watched the first tornado touchdown on that one, and was able to follow that tornado through its entire life cycle. Did very little damage, as you can see in the photo that we looked at earlier. Crossed the road right in front of me. I had some amazing footage from that one. I got picked up, unknown to me at the time even, by a local Des Moines news station that was using my footage live on the air to help pass that warning along, which, as we mentioned, sometimes people actually seeing that tornado on their TV, they're like, oh, this is real. We need to go to the basement.
Yeah.
Cover versus how many times have we heard sirens and had tornado warnings flash on TV and nothing happened. So that was, I would put that one as my career highlight. Wasn't the strongest tornado, did very little damage, thankfully. But there's only a few of us that I know of that were on there. I know the other two guys for sure. They were on that storm. So it was a treat I didn't have to share with too many people.
Do you have are you part of a pretty close-knit community of chasers?
The storm chasing community is rather large. There are a few people who I tend to, that are more local here, that I do tend to associate with more often than a lot of other people. It's a very large group, full of all different kinds of personalities and missions and goals of what people want to do in storm chasing. So I do keep kind of tight with my local group here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What would you recommend? Because Linda had put a couple comments in. She had said, wow, dropping multiple tornadoes. And then she also is like, that's scary when folks don't hear the alarms. For us who are not, don't know about the tornadoes because we're not driving down the road towards them or any severe weather, what do you recommend to keep people, prepared?
I would, especially if, as you mentioned, nighttime tornadoes are not fair. Get a weather radio. Yeah. They're cheap at Walmart, $20-$30. You can program it for your exact area. So if you're sleeping in the middle of the night, that thing will go off in the middle of the night. It'll wake you up. They're loud and annoying.
Yeah.
When you're out and about throughout the day, make sure you have your push notifications enabled on your phone, because they will push certain severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings directly to you if you're within the area. All important outdoor warning sirens. They're great to have. They're meant to be heard outside. It's an old technology. They still use it. But if you're out at a soccer game or a baseball game, that's kind of more what they're meant for, not to wake you up in the middle of the night.
No, because when the sirens go off, that means it's imminent. It's happening right now. Whereas, being aware means that you might be, 25, even 5 minutes out makes a difference.
Absolutely. Yep, 5 minutes can make the difference.
And then everything. And not that I want to turn this into Justin is our weather guru here, because you're going out chasing, you're not necessarily doing the safety pitches here. But once again, if there is a tornado coming, you don't have a basement. Do you recommend somewhere within the house, like a bathroom, get in a bathtub or something like that? Something that doesn't have windows.
For me, if I was in that situation, if I had no knowledge of weather, very little, I would put myself in the most interior room of your home. Bathroom, as they always say, it's usually going to be your safest spot.
Yeah.
Especially if you already have that warning coming across, sirens going off, it's just not safe to hop in your car and drive down the road. So it doesn't take a whole lot for those things to flip your car over or have a tree land on you or anything like that.
Now, we have about 4 minutes left, and this is an interesting question. I think it's worth asking. Given the devastating show of power these storms can have you ever had any sort of, he's using the term paranormal experiences while chasing, be it ghosts, elementals, or even UFOs? I'll just even make it a little bit broader. Has there been anything there that you just made you go, well, that I've not seen something like that before while doing this?
I've seen some very crazy cloud formations. I wish I could share all the photos with you here. As far as paranormal goes, I have not seen anything like that. I've seen cloud formations though, where I've even been like, wow, what is that? And I really need to take a step back to evaluate what I'm seeing here. The weather does some crazy things. So,
and what does that mean? Does that mean it's looking like somebody, or is it just really odd looking or beautiful or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I have an instance I'm thinking of right now is it was 2 or 3 years ago, it was southwestern Minnesota. We were watching the storm come in. It was a very powerful storm. I was a little nervous because we're right in front of it, trying to stay ahead of it. We were far enough away, but you can, as the storm's coming in, it does what does called pull an inflow from the warm, humid air in front of it. And you could really just watch these clouds start condensing right off the top of the corn, just feet above. And it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen outside of actual tornado. So that was something very interesting.
That is really cool. I'm sure you understand the audience that I have on the show. So some of these might, to me, these are not strange answers, mm-hmm. but they might be a little bit different for you. Emily said the last time I saw a UFO was right after a nasty storm.
And I've heard of things like this. Perhaps they're attracted to all the electricity in there. I couldn't even tell you how much electricity is in some of these thunderstorms. That could be something that perhaps would attract certain things like that as well.
It is interesting, and I like the possible idea of it attracts them, because they're certainly not going to start them, because we can see how storms start. We were, you and meteorologists, they're all tracking that the whole time, and mm-hmm. it starts from nothing into this. So, and you can see it days in advance that there is high probability. It's really interesting how that is. Now, is there anywhere that you would like to go that you haven't to do any of this, research and investigating?
I've been from every state, from North Dakota all the way to Texas and Minnesota and pretty much every state in between.
Yeah.
It's kind of the severe weather playground, for lack of a better term.
It is.
And that's where I like to hang out if I can. So.
Now, how can people follow you?
I am not super active on social media. I do have a YouTube page. I can have my wife share the link in the comments.
That's fine. And she can also send it to me too, and I can put it into our other stuff as well. Absolutely. I'd love to be able to do that.
Perfect. I'll have her do that right now, actually.
You gotta do some social media. I know it's evil, but I mean, you gotta get yourself out there in that regard, because I think there's a lot of us who would love to see what you're doing, what you're seeing. But yeah, the YouTube stuff very much is, it will be great. And it's videos of what you've captured and stuff.
I was actually going through it the other night, and there's quite a few of my highlights that are all throughout there. So
that's fantastic. I absolutely love it. This has been fun. I hope you had a good time tonight, Justin. I know that was you kind of probably like, why is he asking to be on? But I hope you enjoyed it.
No, it's been great talking to you. So thank you. And I'd be happy to do it again, maybe next spring.
I would love that very much too. Everyone, thank you, Justin. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to have on Refined Divine with One Question Readings. Everyone, have a good night and take care.